I'm just going to do it one more time. Freaking high right now. And he looks down at his legs, and his legs are completely shattered and broken. Like, he's broken his legs by jumping this hard and strong. And he goes and punches this thing, and like as soon as he hits it, it like shatters this thing. It completely like disintegrates his arm. Like, so his arm has just completely been ravaged. So
is this live action?
No, it's anime. Anime Brown, everybody. Welcome to Quality Time, ladies and gents.
I think the dog farted.
Yeah, the dog farted, Jeremy. I'm sure that's what happened.
No, I smelled a stink all of a sudden. I almost had to check the microphone.
So. Don't listen. Just because Kimberly's here doesn't mean you have to pass your smell off on a four-legged angel named Barley, okay? My name is Eric Woodworth, joined by my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Woodworth and Kimberly Ambrose.
Bow, 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 bow.
Yay! How's it going, guys?
Super. It's Sunday fun day. It's a good day. It's a good day to be alive.
Hell yeah.
Wait a second. Do I get to be my special...
Yeah, who's on the show today? Tell me who's on the show today,
look
please.
On his face. That's right. I'm Devon Brent.
Devon Brent, everybody. Devon Brent.
Large and in charge.
So, another amazing episode.
I'm going to piss off everybody on this show tonight just to be a dick.
His dedication to being an ass is very strong, and I like him for that. I do. I truthfully like the kid. I find it refreshing, okay? You know what? It's all about... It's about putting in the work, and... He's done like 6 to 8 months of it. I think he's pretty much got it down at this point.
Of straight hate.
Exactly. Hating. You know, it's the kind of hate that just makes me want to just get real funky, you know?
Take it
to a hate level. Take it on down to a juicy hate level. Basement sounds that Jeremy makes with the spring on the mic and hating that sound.
I'm sorry. I'd appreciate it if you didn't rap over Michael McDonald.
I'm not rapping. I'm just feeling the vibrations.
Okay, do you have the karaoke version of this?
You mean the regulators?
Yeah, because I prefer the cookie dough-filled mouth of Michael McDonald version.
If you get older right now, you'll get a special cookie person.
Fucking canny.
Can I ask you a question? Like, if Jesus were to come back tomorrow, but... He didn't preach. He still had all of his, you know, all of his divine abilities.
All of it.
But he talked like Michael McDonald.
How's everybody doing out there?
Are you asking if I would take him on a date?
Just
yes.
To save your soul.
Here's what I would do. I would take Jesus with Michael McDonald's voice to dinner first. And it wouldn't be sit down. It would be like at a bar counter. It'd be super cash. I just want him to be comfortable.
Super cash.
And I'd like ask him about like his high school days. And I'd be like, Jesus, what's up with that? Like, when? How'd you lose your virginity? Like all that. And then we would go to Putt-Putt.
Hey, you know, Kim, a little later on, if you could come to my place, I'd like to give you a foot rub. Hey, I'm Jesus.
As long Jesus as your feet don't have holes in them.
Making water into wine. Remember that story? Remember that story about washing people's feet? I also like to rub feet as well.
Yeah, girl.
I'm
you
going
know?
To hell now.
Yeah, girl. What you know about turning other cheeks?
Wow, we got a little off topic there.
Wow.
We put everything into every program.
You know what isn't off
except
topic?
Except James Finn.
Exactly. Yes, we've got all of our callbacks. Jeremy's hitting that giant spring that just reverberates noise through the entire podcast.
It makes our podcast a tool video immediately.
Love it. But in more exciting news, if you want to check us out, Die Laughing Productions is coming to the Bright Box Theater this Saturday. We got two shows.
Yeah.
Kim and I are both going to be there. Back to the 80s, motherfuckers. You're going to love it to death. Some tickets are still available, but they go fast, man. We sold this show out the last two times we did it. First run of Back to the 80s. Come see it this Saturday, Bright Box in Winchester, Virginia. Be there.
At Die Laughing Productions on Instagram. Okay, go ahead.
Did you?
That was good plugs. Good plugs.
It was great plugs. Plugs.
Are you allowed to talk about my promotion this week?
Yeah, what promotion do you have, Jeremy?
You told me I was promoted.
Oh, okay. So, can I tell you probably the best and worst decision Joe Robinson's ever made in his life?
Go
all
on.
In one thing. So Joe calls me up and talking some of the business of the murder mystery. And for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with Joe, which probably makes zero sense to our 20 listeners. I'm pretty sure everybody that listens to the show was at one time a Robin Joe or TMOS fan. But Joe Robinson calls me up, producer of Die Laughing Productions and very talented comedian.
Yes.
Half of the Robin Joe show. He breaks it down to me that says, all right, listen, I got a fucking level with you. I got a fucking level with you, straight up.
Verbatim.
I got a level with you. Listen, we've done the show. We've done it all the places. We can do it without Justin. We just stick in Tommy. We could do it with this person. Kim doesn't show up. You know, it's not a fucking big deal. We'll have any fucking body who's with hair come in there. It's not a fucking big deal. This is the problem.
He wants
don't
us
you
to
love
know
that being spelled out?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Very expendable.
He's like, no, the one thing we can't fucking do is we don't have anybody that's going to play your part, because who the fuck is going to saunter out there in their goddamn underpants and fucking rip their clothes off and sing Wrecking Ball? Like, you have to understand. 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 I don't have anybody else. I don't have anybody else.
You literally have to understand.
If you don't do it, the show is 50% less funny, and I can't do that. You know, so
can't do it.
So
can't do
like,
it.
I was like, okay. And so he's like, so I was thinking about bringing in backup for you. And I was like, okay, that's cool. What do you think about asking Stavros? Stavi,
that's
baby.
Immediately who I thought.
Which, yeah, yeah. And he goes, all right, Stavros, he lives all the way up in New York. And so I was thinking about your brother. And I was just like...
That's a tall order.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, did you want this show to stay on the rails? Or
so the questions he asked me, I was like, well, can your brother play guitar? And I was like, well, he's okay. He can play a little bit. By the way, Jeremy plays amazing guitar.
Yeah.
100 times better
underselling
than I
it.
He's like, well, do you think he could sing the fucking Judy Fuck Doll song, or can he not? I was just like, I'm pretty sure if he practiced it, he could get like in the six,
I would have
in the
to
next
practice it for minutes to get that down.
In 6 months, he could have it down. No problem. No, so I said, yeah, that he would do fine. I was like, how's Justin going to do? He's like, don't worry, I'll fucking handle the Justin problem. It's not a, you know, we'll bring him in. And it's like, will your brother get naked? Of course he'll get fucking naked. We've seen him take his shirt off multiple times, and I've only met him like 6 times. So.
Just tell me how many people I need to molest, and I am so there.
And, he's so. Like, and then he
just this, 7 tonight. Just a low 7. Just keep it easy,
Jeremy,
tonight.
This is the warning he started to lay down on me, though. He's like, now listen, I want him to stay on fucking script. I want him to only do the shit that you do. All this fucking rape shit needs to go out of the goddamn window.
Well, then why are you hiring Jeremy Woodworth?
He's like, yeah, I don't want any, listen, any of his comedic like prowess where he thinks it's a good idea to throw in a rape joke here, it's
that's
not
like,
a good idea.
But that's like
it's
hiring Gigi Allen and being like, I just don't want anything to go up his ass this time. Like, you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting.
I don't want him to get naked, and I don't want him fighting with the audience or throwing poo. Well, you just don't
right.
expect Gigi Allen.
Can
so.
We stop Jeremy at cheeky and cute and just have it stop there rather than go to abusive and strange?
Oh. I like to think of myself as the fill-in brother, like James Belushi to John Belushi.
Oh, God.
Which I think would be the
best. You're
better
than that, buddy.
No, but I think it would probably be more like filling in Martin Sheen with Martin Sheen's brother, who is the worst actor.
Yeah, he's really bad, but has such a powerful Duracell-like chin.
Who still keeps the Estevez name.
Or one of those Baldwins floating around.
I would equate it more to... the Baltimore equivalent of Chris and Kevin Farley. That would be probably
Chris and Kevin.
Have you ever seen Kevin Farley?
No.
Exactly.
He's Chris Farley's older brother.
Really?
Who does stand up and looks kind of like Chris Farley.
Wow.
And he does nothing but rape jokes. It's really weird. Like he just...
Well, we need to hook up.
Yeah.
So. Thank you for that. Jeremy, can you stop? Like, can I ask why?
Kim,
why are you still
Kim
doing
encouraged
it,
and I love
terrible.
It.
I didn't.
Nobody's enticed you to do that, all right?
I'm only going to do it like 2 or 3 more times.
Don't put that on me.
She enticed you as much as a Cosby victim did, okay? There was no
She had that
consent.
Look like she wanted to be roofied.
There was
so.
No consent at
I
all.
I shouldn't have worn what I was wearing. That was my fault, my mistake.
She had an exposed midriff. I like that was the thing. It was just like one of the jurors that couldn't decide. She's like, she went over to his house with an exposed midriff. I mean, that just says I'm ready to fuck Jesus. The second you walk in a place.
I discount myself because I already know the horrible truth. So I just sit back and let it unfold, and I'm not involved in the news anymore. I can't.
I love that Bill Cosby is going on a tour to tell people how to stay out of sexual assault charges.
Is he really?
He wants to set up town hall meetings where he can tell the young youths of America how to not get sexual assault charges.
He's going
to
rape every single one of them.
And most importantly, open bar.
It's pretty much like this. When you come to my house, you fall asleep with shoes on, it's time to get raped. That's pretty much how anything happens in our house.
As punishment for not taking your shoes off, right?
Yeah.
Every story ends with, I know after doing the raping, you might be tired, but you got to take them out with a cab somewhere and drop them out so they won't remember anything about being asleep and raped. So.
The important part is don't make sure all the Kodak film has been removed from the microfiche.
Here's the lesson I learned today. If you show your stomach, you're asking to have someone have sex with you unconsensually. Right? If you show your belly button,
lesson to be learned.
It's basically you saying, my consent doesn't matter, you are allowed to have sex with me.
If there's any way we can blame the victim somehow.
Yeah, anymore? Is there any way we could blame the victim more?
Yeah.
I mean, she showed up with eyebrows. What the fuck did she think was going to happen?
Did you take care of your hair today? That's probably why you got
when you're nice and you talk to me, I feel like you want me to have sex with you without consent.
You talk to somebody. See, you're not supposed to talk to people.
You know who I always think is a stack of fuckability is that Misty from the Pokemon series. It's just an exposed midriff every episode. That just says,
Jasmine from Aladdin.
Ooh, yeah.
That's mine.
That just says, I already consent.
I'm a raping that tonight.
I have to say one of my favorite new female actresses has to be the chick from Dirk Gently's, who's the murderess. Who just looks like she's just been like a street bum and she can't die. She even puts the gun to her head and she's like, see, it can't happen. And then shoots the gun and Dirk Gently was the new show that was based on the guy who did The Hitchhiker's Guide. And it has Elijah Wood as the lead.
Is it Douglas Adams?
Douglas
story?
Adams.
Oh, okay.
Which brings it all full circle. Hmm. Cosby to Elijah Wood. We're just talking about rape this episode, you guys.
And rape. Rape brings everything together.
Well, let's not get too much into our next episode yet, guys.
Spoiler.
Kim and I.
Peach or orange?
Peach.
Oh, there's shots being thrown around.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that was
shots
happening.
Shots being thrown around.
Hey.
I know you're not heavy into it, so, you know.
Heavy into what?
Well, I'm drinking the Bud Ice. So
heavy into partying, bro? Do you even know me?
You know where comedy comes from.
She's a lady. She doesn't drink Bud Ice. I like that you threw her a dollar shot, and he was like, she's a lady. She don't drink fucking Bud
Yeah,
Ice.
But she's fucking classy, okay?
But this SoCo mixed with lemonade shot that I bought for 50 cents at the drugstore counter is made for women.
Look, it's sealed so there isn't any roofie in it. That's my way of showing I'm a gentleman.
That's a gentleman. You break your own seal.
No, that's just you getting tired. I didn't drug you.
That was a little stronger than I expected. The funny thing is, they were both roofied. No. I'm kidding. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes. I mean, no.
The trick is...
I haven't had it in weeks.
My friend and I have a joke that I can't do on stage because audiences won't like it, but... We think it's funny.
It's because people don't laugh at it. That's, right. The hardest part is the lack of laughter.
No, they'll want to laugh at it, but they won't think it's appropriate. We think
tasteful.
It's funny if you like rough sex and a guy is really into simulated rape, fake rape, if you will, and I will. But if he's like, yeah, you like that? And you're like, no, don't stop. And he's like, no, you're supposed to say, no, don't stop.
Yeah.
No, don't stop.
I like that. It's very
punctuation.
Similar, it's very similar to that. Well, it's like a lot from that movie, How High. How High does the same thing. She was just like, she was all like, no, don't stop. I was like, man, when I get with girls, they're like, no, don't stop.
Right.
Like that. Yeah.
Yes.
You bring me back to Rutger Hauer and Jennifer Jason Leigh in Flesh and Blood from 1983.
So. Oh, yeah, that's exactly where my head went. To a 1983 movie with Rutger Hauer.
where Rutger Hauer is raping her and she's all of a sudden like pretending as if she's enjoying. He's like, he can see.
That's what I always think of. That's what I always think of. Like, just take the power back.
Oh, and by the way, has Lisa Simpson as herself in the movie, who was also in the Twilight Zone movie that got sucked into the cartoon in the Twilight Zone movie, where she's having sex with a guy. So
what?
Yeah,
I feel like my whole childhood.
She was a real actress before she did Lisa Simpson.
I feel like if I was ever getting raped, I could stop it. Like they say, like some things, like if you're in a rape situation, is like try to poop on yourself or try to defecate on yourself because
or yell fire.
But I was just thinking, if I were getting raped and I wanted to stop, I would just the entire time sing, you know, that He-Man version of Three Non-Blondes, Hey Ya. It's all I want to do, and I'll step outside, and I'll get a dip, and I'll get real high, because I feel it,
That's amazing.
Peculiar. And well, I would just
also
do that
works
until,
with bears.
Yeah, until the rape stopped. I would just sing that the whole time.
It wouldn't
time.
Stop it.
Well, I'm going to go
he
to
He just
your...
wouldn't be able to it finish. Would just, it would prolong it, if it anything.
Would, yeah, it would ruin that song for you
it's
also.
Like, wow, you know what? I usually am done the raping in like a minute 30, and I'm like 5 minutes in. You know, keep singing. Keep singing.
Keep singing.
Keep squealing, big boy.
I'm going to go to your go-to, because you know that your milkshake does bring the boys to the yard in jail. You are worth a good pack of cigarettes in jail. Yeah, so.
I am a full 250 to 80 pounds worth of fuckability and worth multiple packs in Newport today.
Let's remember, no matter what you do, you're only going to prevent the third or fourth guy from raping you from behind. So.
I'd pretty much be a fucking
remember, kids.
Marlboro Red Baron at that prison. You understand? Like, I would have so many cigarettes at all
that's
times.
One of my favorite movie moments of all time is in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest when he's like, you can't bet a nickel. Try and smoke it. You understand? That's what. Oh, I fucking love that. I don't know why.
I bet a dime. No, two things are shit.
Right. All right. Fine. Then I bet a dime. God damn it.
Name the actor.
Which actor?
That did that scene.
Danny DeVito?
Yes, Danny DeVito.
What, are you coming at me like I don't fucking know? Like I don't have a box set from the dollar store of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with a playing card deck with pictures on
it?
Get out of here.
You're at least 15 years younger than me, so I have
to... Oh, dude, I grew up watching that movie. Here's an embarrassing thing about Kim Ambrose.
Kim,
I fucking...
Kim, he thinks you're 35. Right.
Cute. Okay, cute.
I am not 50. I am a ripe 45.
I fucking brought One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to a friend's house during a... to have a sleepover. Like, it wasn't like a party. It was just us. But her mom was really into it. And I was really into it. And my friend was not really into it. I was super into it. Her mom was super into it. Not somebody my age group. Nope.
By the way, the two chicks.
You're an old soul in a young body.
By the way.
What we all strive to be, essentially. To have the knowledge.
An outcast?
Yeah, to not be liked by anyone. Yeah. To live a very incredibly lonely life.
Well, then let me put my hand in my jacket like Napoleon and feel this dynasty in my veins.
So, by the way, the two girlfriends from that film, Jack Nicholson's girlfriend with the black hair.
Yes.
Met her, still looking pretty good.
Nice.
Mind was still there. I met the blonde chick, who actually kind of got with Scatman Crothers in that film. She looked gosh-awful horribly old. And definitely was not all quite there as well.
Oh, it happens to the best of us. So.
It really does, you know?
Now, I have to call out my three other favorite actors from that, which has to be, obviously, the Reverend Jim from
Taxi. Yes.
With him and DeVito working together. But also, the creepy eye guy... who is also the dead guy and ghost in the subway?
The creepy eye guy?
Yeah. Well, let's say ghost. Let's say Better Off Dead with John Cusack, and of course Amadeus in the beginning where he meets with Salieri.
Yeah, I'm a little slacking on my Cusack
Salieri.
Film knowledge.
What's the biggest film other than
Kim? If you could be more up to date with all the movies that happened before you were born, we'd appreciate it.
That'd be real great. That'd be great.
In Ghost, he taught Swayze how to do things with his powers as a ghost.
I got nothing. I know that was a guy. I can't picture him.
I know what you're talking
about.
But
can
we
just...
real ugly guy.
And the final person...
Morgan Freeman.
Yes, Morgan Freeman.
Obviously.
Well, you know, he had great roles, obviously, because of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's. But let's talk about the final one, which was The Hills Have Eyes, Michael Berryman.
Ooh, Michael Berryman.
Who was sitting in his in the bed because he didn't have any lines. I met him and I brought him pictures from Cuckoo's Nest because he didn't have anything from Cuckoo's Nest. It's all about Hills Have Eyes. So he tells me this story. He's like, oh, yeah. You know, when Nicholson met me, he gave me a nickname. He gave me a nickname, Bots. And everyone's like, why is it Bots? He's like, you just look like Bots.
Jesus. Can we mention that the guy that plays Billy, is that his name? He was engaged to that girl.
Yes, yes.
I don't know the actor's real name, but
I
like to argue with Joe Robinson that this guy is the best actor of all time and not Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh gosh, how bad is it? How, we didn't really get to harp on how about Daniel Day-Lewis retiring.
Yeah, and, right?
He was. I think he was Wormtongue in The Lord of the Rings.
He's also the highest paid guest actor on The X-Files.
Oh yeah, he plays the guy from Child's Play. He's Chucky from Child's
Chucky.
Play 1.
Oh yeah!
He's in
I want to say Billy Crudup, and I don't think that's right.
Don't forget Graveyard Shift as the rat killer.
Oh, how can we forget Graveyard Shift?
He's in a two-part episode of The X-Files season 1.
Yes, and it is literally one of the best episodes of... two of the best episodes of the season. It was really fucking good.
Hold on, I'm looking at a guy.
I love
Child's
how she
one.
Shit on Graveyard Shift because it wasn't one of the bigger Stephen King films, which is great. So.
The actor in question that you guys are talking about,
greatest actor
is,
of all time. Greatest actor of all time.
Here he is. Yeah, it's Brad Dourif.
Brad Dourif.
He was supposed to come to Monster Mania and kept cutting out because he's still almost an A-grade actor.
Yes,
so.
He is. He's so fucking good. He's so fucking good.
He's in a lot of stuff.
No, Nurse Ratched. Don't,
right?
Don't tell my mom.
Tell me that doesn't break your heart.
I'm glad we've kind of brought up... I'm glad we've brought up... Thank you for that again. Now you've shook the other... There you go. I'm glad we brought this up, this tier of actors. Tommy Cimbazzo and I were talking about this in a car ride down on one of our road trips to Albany.
One of our many.
I couldn't remember which one it is. But we were talking about, you know how there's the movie The Expendables? I was just like, well, what if you got together an ensemble cast of all, like, the most ugliest actors, like Clint Howard.
Steve Buscemi.
He gets older as he... Uglier as he gets older as
Dourif,
well.
Dourif, right?
Yes.
Dourif, yeah.
Michael Berryman.
Ooh, Michael Berryman's a good one. The guy from...
Sid Haig
is a good one. Or the guy from Ghost in the train scene, which is Vincent Schiavelli. Could get him. And you could get all these actors together. Clint Howard, the whole lot of them, and call it the Unfuckables. Which would be... such a good...
Oh, I want this to happen.
I almost wanted to call out the guy from The Few Dollars More, the ugly German actor.
He's not popular enough.
He was all through the 80s. His career died through the 90s, and I think he's dead.
Rob
Schneider and the Unfuckables.
He'd be so mad. He'd be so mad to be invited to that.
Yeah.
Admit it, Schneider. You're fucking ugly.
The influence.
Ooh, John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah. He would love it. He'd be a part of it in a big way.
He is so unfuckable.
What do you mean I'm unfuckable?
What are you talking about, you dingus?
You dingus? It's for your health.
Can I get some more of that cocaine?
the major influence that Deuce Bigelow has had on my life, because every time I see a tall woman now, it's like, I think, freak!
You know, another one would be the guy who hates you from Deuce Bigelow.
Oh, yeah.
William Forsythe.
Ooh, he was in that?
He ain't got no alibi. He's
ugly.
How
do you not know that William Forsythe is in Deuce Bigelow? He probably has the best part in Deuce Bigelow.
Wow.
He makes the movie. He's the cop that was just like, he's like, hey, I was at the urinal the other day, and some of the water splashed back on me, and he zips it. He shows him his dick every time he talks to him. He's like, what do you think this is? He's
wow. It's been a while.
He also says he was just like, well, I mean, it's fine. It's a nice sized dick. It's a thin dick. He whispers as he, it's like a Twizzler. Got it. That's probably one of the funniest lines I've ever heard.
Jesus.
William Forsythe always looks like he's talking through his teeth. Like, he never.
I think he lost himself
through his teeth.
I think he lost himself in The Devil's Rejects as that part. So.
No, but in every film that you see him in, it's either I'm dumb hillbilly William Forsythe, or I speak through my teeth, fucking William Forsythe.
Serious? He's super serious.
No, when I talked about being Gacy, and no, I was full pogoed up, and I started taunting him, and he was ignoring me. And then when he left the room, he came up on me as quick as he could and popped one of my balloons and just took off running. I was like, this is so fucking awesome. And I think I yelled like, I love you, Forsythe! At the top of my lungs. Gosh.
Damn it. Playing grab after Forsythe, huh? Damn it, Jeremy.
Can you tell them your story?
Which story?
Your murder mystery story.
Yeah, I can.
Tell us a story, Daddy.
Let's talk about where Kim and I went
this
weekend. Kim and I are fresh off a trip down to the Lorton, Virginia.
Lorton, Virginia,
God's country, right outside of Tyson's Corner, about 45 minutes.
Do you
minutes.
Have any music for this?
Yeah, and this place was at a, it was called the Workhouse Art Center.
Workhouse Art Center.
But it used to be...
James Finn.
They build a prison.
They're trying to build a prison. Yes, that's right. It used to be.
James Finn.
It used to be an old prison. It was pretty cool.
That is super cool.
It legitly. Jeremy. Like, how many fucking times do you have to do it, dude? God damn it.
Okay, I failed the sobriety test. Sorry.
It's just like, let's do it again. Just
tonight, things that annoy you, Eric.
Oh, I haven't. Have I pissed? Eric's let it slide like four or five times. Let's just do it a sixth.
Ten more times.
Let's do it a sixth or six times.
Look.
All right. Okay. So we went to Lorton, Virginia, and we went to an old prison, and it was really cool. And we had two sold out shows back to back. Murder Mystery. The Last Laugh, right? No, Newly Dead Game.
We did the Newly Dead Game.
Yeah, it was fun.
And it was cool. It set up like a 1950s prison. They use it like a fairgrounds, and we had to like snake around through like tons of cops to get back to where we were performing.
Scared.
And they told us it was a prison. They were like, this used to be a prison. And I was like, this down here used to be a flaccid penis. And yeah, it was pretty... It was pretty awesome. We get back there, we're doing the show, and I realized that Tommy and I are kind of on a bit of a prank. We're the pranksters of the group. That's fair enough to say.
Prankster.
And we
you're so Zeph.
We're so Zeph, bro. And I took a shit before the show, which I'm apt to do. Okay, I poop everywhere we go.
He does.
I never don't shit in a new place.
How many times a day do you poop on average?
It varies. At least three times a day.
At least three.
Yeah, but that's
so we're
like
talking
a,
like four is a normal day. Four times a day.
I would say three is normal. I have a very set schedule when I poop. And one of those times is about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Another time is about 3 o'clock. And one at 11 is those usually my three go-to times.
So, Justin Schlegel said to me, go into the bathroom. Eric just pooped and it smells like rotting apricots.
Yeah.
And I'll be goddamned if it did not smell exactly as if an apricot had been just sat out a little too long.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun smelling my shit smell that I had left in there.
And then Tommy made a lady go in.
So here's the thing. The guy who put on the show, another great comedian who hooked us up with this gig. And
Ramin Mostafavi.
Yeah, Ramin Mostafavi. Very, very funny comedian in his own right.
Hilarious.
He's really good friends with Rob. His wife comes into the dressing room. He's like, hey, have you guys seen Ramin anywhere? And Tommy goes, he's like, I think he's in the bathroom. And he's like, no, like he's like in the bathroom. Like, go all the way in there. And she gets in and realizes he's not in there. And he's like, it smells like shit. So he used my smell for evil to a person he barely knows, right? That's our Tommy Simbazo, everybody.
Love it.
And I'm very similar in the sense that I... last week when we were in Albany or Syracuse, Tommy was up on stage and I had to make a during this, the Last Laugh, which was the production that we were doing for Dying Laughing Productions, again, dyinglaughingproductions.com, check us out. Tommy, at one point, has to take a sip of a drink. It's part of the murder mystery. Is this the thing that killed him? Is this not? And usually we just get a drink from the bar, but we were kind of pressed for time, so I got the drink for him. And basically I got water, ice, and then filled it completely with hot sauce. I mean, fucking so much hot sauce in this thing. And Tommy's looking at it when I was doing it. I thought he saw me doing it, and he was like, oh, what did you do? Put ketchup in it? I was like, oh, no, it's like a Bloody Mary. Don't worry. It's like pretty much a Bloody Mary.
There's pepper and celery. So, it's amazing.
We get to the show, and it's the part where he gets the drink and finally takes a sip of it, and you just hear him go, and I'm doing my thing, and blah, blah, blah. He takes...
Okay, this is where I get maternal, because you could have fucked up the whole show, because Tommy's voice could have completely given out for 20 minutes while he cried tears, and we would have had to bring the lights up, play an intermission song while he fucking gathered his voice box,
and I would have got upgraded to detective finally.
Oh my god, it's sabotage.
So yeah, watching, hearing Tommy choke for like a good 30 seconds
That's fucking hilarious. Was
pretty fun for me.
Worth it.
Yeah, these are the things that we do.
We would have had to drive 7 hours to then 10 minutes into the show be like, it's done. Fucked it up.
Peace out. But you know what we did? You know what did happen? We fucking crushed that.
Crushed it okay? So good.
And it's the unpredictability that makes it fun.
Bow, 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 bow.
So back to Lorton, VA. We're having a pretty good show. We're having a fun time. It came up in discussion that while we were at this prison, one of the things that came up was it's something about homosexuality in this, and it was just like, I was like, you know what you never hear is just like, actually, I'm offended. I come from a long line of homosexuals, actually. And we started talking about the history of homosexuality. Like, there's no, you know, it's hard to have kids when you're gay, but what if you...
Fact.
What if... What if, like, you're like, you know, my dad didn't fuck dudes with their face down in the mud in Vietnam so that I can live in a country.
My dad didn't fuck dudes with their face down in the muck in Vietnam so I could come here and be oppressed with this bullshit.
My grandfather did not get in a circle and beat off 6 Nazis.
To fucking sit here and have you say to me, god damn it, that's so funny.
Have you been a homosexual?
So, yes.
I just like the idea of the historical gays in the military, you know? I mean, Gunny is one of them, the guy from Full Metal Jacket.
best role in Saving Silverman, yes.
Yeah,
him and Jack Black.
No, he's in real life, he's a homosexual
guy.
Yes. And, you know, because we know those good lines, like, you ever suck a golf ball for a garden hose? You know who did it? Fucking Gunny did it, okay? Gunny's done that shit. That's a real thing.
John Wayne was a queer, you guys.
No,
he wasn't! I installed two-way mirrors in his place in Pasadena, and he always came to the door in a dress. No, he didn't. I'd love to see my buddies fuck. What are you talking about?
You never like, you ever just want to see your buddy get butt fucked in the ass. I mean, that's just, it's called bro fucking.
Come see, come saw, come on his face.
Hey, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Hey, pilgrim, why don't you come over here and let me put my fingers on your tight little butt.
I just want to let you know that that's going to be a new obsession for me for the week. Starting a sentence with, well, come on, pilgrim, and then the gayest thing I can possibly say to come after that.
Well, come on, pilgrim, you know that the Liza Minnelli special is coming on in about a half hour.
Come on, pilgrim, let me swallow all that salty goodness. You know I love a good salt and vinegar chip. Let me have it.
Let's go to the...
Come on, pilgrim, lower yourself onto this can of Pepsi.
let's go to the classic Eddie Murphy from Saturday Night Live, where the thing that scares me the most is if Mr. T is gay. Come here, boy, let me stick my tongue down your throat.
That's a... Joe Rogan has a great bit about the WWE champion right now. His name is Brock Lesnar, but he was UFC heavyweight champion.
Yes, he was.
Brock Lesnar. He's a monster of a man. But fucking Rogan has this great bit who's just like, I mean, if Brock Lesnar wanted to fuck you,
right,
he would fuck you. He was just like, would you be able to stop it? Maybe for a little bit. Maybe for a little bit. And he was just like, you might be able to stop it for a little while.
Maybe for a little bit.
Do you think anybody else is going to come on? And you're like, no, Brock, fuck now. No. Unless you got like 10 guys with like laser fucking prods on him, he's going to fuck you.
You know who I would be afraid if they pointed at me in a room and was like, I'm going to fuck you. I'd be like, oh no. Would be... You ready for this? You ready for this? It'd be Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo?
I would be genuinely afraid.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah.
He's dead now. So.
Good. I can rest easier. That'd be terrifying.
He was scary large. You
know? He's a huge guy. He's such a scary dude.
Yeah, but you realize, like, it's just the way he looks
scary. Because
he's not any stronger than Tyrese Gibson.
No, he's not true.
Tyrese Gibson is dreaming.
You watch his backyard fight videos.
I've seen them
And
all.
You tell me that guy wouldn't scare the fuck out of you with his fist abilities.
100%, but I would, you know.
Terrifying.
I would treat it like any other white person and stand my ground. It's not a big deal. Fuck, that's a horrible joke, and I want
that's
you to
really
know,
funny.
Black people, I love you guys to death.
literally to death. We're going
like,
to kill you.
Super to death.
All right.
It's really horrible, the state of affairs.
You're a bad person, and I hope your soul burns in an eternal hellfire.
Listen, I bring forth the comedy of it because that's what it is. I told some guy, by the way, I do this. I've been doing this new thing very, very liberally as of late, where
you're a bit of a social experimenter.
I had this. There was a comedian who came up to the judges bench on Monday, and he was the last comic of the night. He's a real tall black guy with dreads. I don't remember his name. I think it was the first time I ever met him.
Beautiful.
Daywood Shabazz.
No, it was not Daywood. It was tall, tall gentleman.
Tall gentleman. It was Predator.
You said dreads. So.
You just said dreads. Like you could have guessed the Predator. You could have guessed Jean-Claude Van Damme.
What the fuck are you?
Obviously.
So he gets up and then, you know, there's not a lot of people there. So he looks at me like to do his crowd work part of his bit that he's trying to set up. And he's like, hey, you know how black people always be doing like this or whatever to me. And I'm like... I decided to take this opportunity to like speak to the rest of the room. I was like, sir, actually, I don't know what that means, and I'm kind of offended. I'm actually really, really racist. So if you could be a little bit more respectful of my views.
That's my favorite part of it. If you could respect how racist I am, I'd really appreciate that.
If you could respect how racist I am right now,
that's my favorite thing. Calling out American freedom to the point that you're like, you need to respect how racist I am.
There's only one... There's only one black comedian I can handle, and that's Leland Clayton. Okay, sorry.
This is America. I'm allowed to be racist. Okay,
sir.
Land of the free. Okay,
sir.
Okay.
I'm really offended that you think I'm against white privilege. So
yeah. Whoa, buddy. You don't fucking know my politics. Okay. Let me fend for myself here. I am super, super racist.
I have to say that I really enjoy. Liking every single thing that Daywood Shabazz posts, even if it says like crackers are shit, I'm like, like,
yeah, they are, yeah. Yes, they are.
Daywood Shabazz is basically,
but here's the thing when black people openly don't like white people, I don't disagree with them.
I love it.
Yeah, not out of irony. I agree with you. White people suck. There's a Twitter account called Shit White People Ruin. And it is so fucking funny. It is so on point.
I
can't stand white people.
They're all right. I mean,
they're annoying. They're always so positive and organized. Like, this goes over here. Why don't you chill the fuck out? Let's take your pants down 2 inches just relax.
You can take all of your white achievements and you shove them straight up your ass.
Yeah.
Shove them straight up your ass. And you know the only thing you can leave? Singing in the Rain. Because we actually like that a lot.
We really like that a lot. Really that's like my favorite. Yeah.
That's a black favorite. I watch it every cookout.
I wouldn't hate Fred Astaire and Grace Kelly. I could keep them too.
Yeah.
Kind of amazing.
Right.
You make me want to cry right before I'm like electrocuted.
Here's a good example that's outside of black people versus white people. Punctuality. Mm-hmm. In Spanish culture, It is normal to be at least 15 minutes late. That's how I live my life, you guys. What is it with this punctuality? Always needing to be on time. Or you get judged. You get, oh, you had something better to do. I didn't. And I'm still here late. And I had nothing better to do. You know why? Because I live my fucking life, white people. God. Man,
and quality time will be recorded at 11 o'clock tonight. Starting at 11.
Starting at 11 tonight. Turn into the easy listening style. Quality time.
We were supposed to be here at 8. Show up at about 10:30. So, no shame.
You know why? Because I'm not going to die of a heart attack. I'm not, and I won't.
Where were we going with all this?
So you were telling stories about the murder mystery. We got into some gay people, and then we just went on all oppressive.
How do we round it up with rape?
How do we bring this mother around?
Well, it was at a prison, so...
Shawshank Redemption, boom, brought it around. Two words,
Morgan
done.
Freeman, Bill Cosby.
Another thing, we were backstage at this place. They explicitly tell us not to touch the things back there.
I forgot about this.
They have high-end props all over the place,
they're
right?
Not high-end, but they acted like they were.
They had wigs and sets of wigs, and they had like little Trojan helmets and everything back there.
You know, just
a whole
like
wardrobe of
theater
stuff. It was like when you walk into like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, like, hey, I hope you guys really don't fucking touch. Explicitly warned us.
Like Fleetwood Mac had been there the week before.
They were like, do not touch the wigs. Don't touch the helmets.
Yeah.
Don't touch any of the clothes. You see the radios over there? We counted all of them, and we're looking at all of you back here.
Meanwhile,
constantly.
They did provide a bathroom with a shower, but there was hair clots all in the shower not from anyone in our team.
It literally looked
disgusting.
Not like somebody had shaved their beard, but like one of those things that like the magnetic beards had just been dumped into.
Yes.
Like the sink.
Or like they washed their wigs and just left the shit in there.
Yeah.
Your precious fucking wigs. You're in trouble.
It called for it.
You're in trouble. Now he's going to have to edit all of these out.
I'm not. The thing is, I'm not. Just,
the thing is,
it's just going to leave the unprofessionalism of it. Like, I can't control him. He's fucking out of control.
To not enable bad behavior, so they told us we couldn't wear these wigs.
I'll call Joe Robinson and tell him he's not on the fucking backup anymore. That's what I'm going to do. That's the only way I can hurt him at this point, because he doesn't fucking listen.
He's no James Belushi, I'll tell you that. So...
I would love my brother to star in The Principal, though. Like, that would be a thing I'd love to see. It was like, I'm the Kaji Principal! they explicitly tell us not to touch any of this
stuff.
Don't
touch anything.
And we can't have bottles of booze. Like, Romanian music comes back and says,
no.
We don't have, like, bottles of liquor back here.
Ixnay on the ooze bay.
I come back a couple minutes later. Kimberly's wearing the fucking wig. She's wearing it around.
And drinking whiskey.
Like, she immediately was told not to do that. She's like, oh, I'm not allowed to? Well, I'm going to wear this right now.
Oh, and you brought people from Baltimore? That was a mistake.
So
was this your black curly wig?
No, it was amazing. Red. It was orange. It was straight orange. Yeah. And it had, like, extra tracks in it of curl. So it came down like a mermaid. So I just took that. If you want to see the pictures of evidence, at Panic at the Deli.
Panic at the Deli
on Instagram. You can see...
So you were supposed to be,
here you go. I'm showing Jeremy the picture. Gosh.
There's four of them. Rifle through that.
Wow.
There's four of them. That's my favorite thing is it goes from you looking at me like, what's she doing? And then you look at me while I'm drinking like, no, she didn't. Yes, I did.
Now you were supposed to be, Ferris Bueller's girlfriend?
No, so this was Newly
and
Dead
the other
Game.
One.
This is Newly Dead Game. Okay. So Newly Dead Game, sometimes they need me as sign girl, but I didn't know for sure, so I showed
so
up
she
and
just came
wasn't
and then
needed.
She wasn't
did
in
you
the
get a new tat?
No, this has been here
that's
since,
old?
This is a year
you've
old,
seen
actually.
Hunter S. Thompson?
Wow.
Thing?
That's not Hunter S. Thompson.
I think she showed me and I totally forgot.
But yeah, I showed
I actually,
up and
when
I, brought,
I saw it for the first time, I was just like, oh, sweet Jim Jones tattoo.
I know, right? I've gotten...
I would say Uncle Fester.
I've gotten Uncle Fester. I've gotten Gandhi. I like to tell people it's MLK.
But what about Bob Gandhi. White? Does anybody ever call it Bob White?
Bob White?
Yeah, Bob White, the guy from Heaven's Gate.
I've never gotten that one. That's
he looks
really kind
of
like
now,
Bob White.
Now, your love of Hunter S. Thompson... And I hate to say this, but we will bring out the guns next week if you want.
Yes.
If that gives,
yes,
does it for you.
Yes, it does it for
will,
me.
We will make sure that there are no loaded rounds, and we will just
what,
let
why?
You handle as many guns as you want.
No, load them up. Give me a target.
Because we love you.
I shoot safe, and I appreciate that, and I love you guys.
Because any chick that loves guns, I mean,
Yeah.
Well, it's 4th of July weekend next weekend, so it'd be easy to go just go out back and go shoot guns.
And plus, we're almost country living here. So.
Yes. I liked my favorite well, the is the part, Ruger, the 22 my, Ruger.
The funniest
is my
part is I live out in Carroll County, and she loves Rugers. I like it because rappers, it's one of the most... rapped about guns.
Is it really?
It rhymes with a lot of things.
Okay, Ruger. I was going to say, it's such a pansy gun. It's
Ruger
just...
and Luger. And the Luger is right. Another one that rhymes. Nobody has a Luger. I've never seen a Luger
in
actual practice.
No.
It's a cool looking gun. It's clip fed.
What I like about it is the hammer. You can't have your thumb up there. It'll clip your skin. It comes back, pa-pow, and smacks that thing forward.
Lugers and Rugers.
Love that thing. I also really, my dad has a .32... revolver that I really, really enjoy.
I got a nice, well, I don't talk about my, I have no guns government at all, so.
I have no guns on this published podcast. Oh my God, what?
Well, my wife was telling me the other day, she said, because it's 4th of July, and she's like, I can never tell if, like, the things that are happening outside are fireworks or people are just popping off shots, because, like, we live in a place where that can just happen.
Sure,
like,
there's wilder out here. There's some wilderness.
I like it because, but we live in an all-white country community, and we're like, oh, yeah, people are shooting guns.
It's
and
fine.
Oh, you can go to Baltimore, and we're like, oh, my God, people are fucking dying right now. People are fucking dying.
There's a real gunfight only blocks away.
Yes. So yeah, that's fun stuff.
Somebody bought some
we fucked
shit
with things.
That wasn't good enough.
We fucked with things backstage. Justin had a great show. I saw his penis for like the 10th time. Mm-hmm. That was great.
That's not
Justin?
Even news at this yeah. point. That's not
real
news.
Penis?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen Justin's.
Wow.
But I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you on a show.
It's not even like, oh, cool, is, like a thing anymore. It's just like, yeah, his dick was out.
We see
that's like
Justin's,
seeing you naked.
Right.
Justin's.
Comes in, comes out.
Justin, myself, and Tommy's penises have all been seen. I've never seen Joe's dick before, though. Or
Rob's. I don't want to. They're the dads, and I don't want to see my dad's dicks.
Who do you think has a worse? If you had to look at one of their dicks, who would you choose? Joe, right away?
Right away.
I think there's, because of the stories behind it and the things it's seen, or
yes.
And, the road it's traveled.
And from what I've heard, it looks like.
What does it look, what have you heard?
I'm not going
like?
To say that.
You don't, open up the goddamn Pandora's box and not let us know. What have you heard
in
that
trouble.
It looks like? What has Katie said?
No, Katie hasn't said anything.
Like a baby arm? Is
no.
it huge?
No.
Is it deformed? Does it look like the
Kim
Toxic
is,
Avenger?
Kim is afraid of seeing penises.
You guys remember all those mutants in Mutant Hunt? Yeah.
Good callback. By the way, check out Cyborgs Episode 1 if you'd like to see that in the archives. La, 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 la. No, this is a great story. Another time when I was out with Justin doing the murder mystery, Tommy, Justin, and myself went to the bathroom all together, straight up womanly style.
Dangerous. As can I just like let the? About- can I let everyone know who doesn't hang out with professional comedians 90% of your life know? This story just started off dangerous. Three comedians who have no respect for life or decency just walked into a bathroom together. It's going to get bad.
One was a rabbi, one was a priest, the other was an imam.
So Justin, Tommy, and myself walk into this bathroom, and I get the stall, and then there's two urinals to the left, right?
Rot row.
So Tommy takes the middle, and Justin is on the end. And I am a couple of drinks in, so I decide to play my favorite game in the whole world, which is I'm going to pee a little bit on the floor next to your shoe so it splashes you a little bit, because it's just fun to do, right? So I piss a little bit on Tommy's shoe, and he's like, Eric.
Come on now.
He goes, Eric. And I know better, because I know as soon as I do it, there's going to be repercussions. So I step back and I see the splash come back, but I was ready. I was ready. I didn't get splashed back, right? So he's like, Eric, I'm like soaked up to my shoe, my sock right now. This is disgusting. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm laughing. And we look over at Justin, who hasn't said anything during this whole time. And he's at the third urinal, and he's facing us, pants completely down, and he's pissing just directly down, like his ass into the, like, the urinal, pissing straight down into the urinal. Like, oh, hey guys, what's up? I'm just using the urinal here. So it was I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready at all. It was fucking hilarious, man.
You guys are gross. Also, another thing we've done with you guys is taking a picture. I forget whose actual butthole it was, but we took a close-up picture of, was it Tommy's butthole?
Yeah, it was Tommy's butthole.
Tommy's butthole.
Tommy's butthole.
And we put that chocolate starfish on as the backdrop of Rob's iPad. Now, that's that's funny enough. That's funny enough. But if I can do a callback to the diaper story that you relented last week, kind of similar, because it wasn't until, like, what, 4 to 5 weeks later on Facebook, Rob was like, who the fuck changed my goddamn iPad background? And we were like, it took you 5 weeks?
Well, he left it at the venue, so he didn't get it back for like a couple weeks.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And I just remember sitting there, I'm like, man, that's going to be such a good gift when
he goes all the way to get it. He goes all the way to get it. Turns it on. Oh, BT Dubs, butthole.
By the way, there's an asshole as your background now.
You're welcome. Love you, Poppy.
And then I think we did another one where it was mine and Tommy's ass with Justin in between going like this.
I have
like
that picture on my phone. I took that picture. I have that on my phone.
So,
and it's really fucked up looking because the lighting is really dark. So like the bottom of your ass is really like dark. Yeah, and then like the shadow under Justin's eyebrow. So his eyes look all blacked out. Yeah. So it's supposed to be funny and like kind of kitsch, but it's actually kind of fucking weird.
But it actually looks like the thing you see before the girl in the ring grabs your arm into the TV.
Two grown men's asses and another grown man's face looking so happy to be there.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
It's a lot, you guys. We're a lot. Sorry. I really want a Die Laughing Productions like body wrap for my car, but I live at a funeral home and I feel like it's inappropriate. I just feel like it's inappropriate. It's got like a fucking body chalk outline on it. Inappropriate.
Sponsored by Ambrose and Funeral.
Right.
You know, I want your dad to live a long, healthy life. But when he passes,
thank you.
And the business is finally yours. Mm-hmm. If you change it to the Ambrose Die Laughing Productions Funeral
Home. Die Laughing Productions Funeral Home?
Where you also do comedy as part of like the funerals that happen. Like,
I hate to say this, the rooms that we have services in, top notch for comedy. They're small.
Exactly.
They go far back. They're very intimate settings.
They're dying laughing. Hey,
if you started out with Robert Picardo as your moderator,
come for the Ferguson death, stay for the tight 20 with Tommy Sabazo in room 3, right? Like that would be that's
we got something going.
You'd
here.
Have to know Amazon Women on the Moon to know that joke. So.
Wait, maybe we call it Die Laughing Productions Funeral Home. Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah, and then you do the happy and sad face, the Dave Schoeffer.
Yes, logo. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Has anybody checked in on Dave Schoeffer in a while, guys? Because his Facebook posts are getting scary, guys. I'm getting
negative
legitimately worried
10.
About him. Do you think we should ever have Dave Schoeffer on the show?
Hell yeah.
Kim? Very not on board. Very not on board. Say, your silence said enough.
If Jeremy says yes, then I'm down.
Hey, we'll protect you. So.
I actually enjoy Dave Schoeffer, and he's an all right person in my eyes. I have no issues with him. I've seen the dick pic. I know he doesn't like when we talk about it. I know this is going to cause him to...
That was 4 goddamn years ago, fuckers!
Yeah, well, the Holocaust was like 50 years ago, and we still talk about that, so get over it.
I know.
Yeah, but much like Dave's dick pic, it's very exaggerated, to be honest.
And who knows if it's even real, am I right?
That's so horrible. I apologize. I love my Jews. I love my Jewish friends. They're the best. What else? Oh, I read this article, guys, that Justin brought up to me, and we had a little discussion about it over at the show, is that more stories have resurfaced about the making of Predator 1, and Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to be in Predator 1 as the Predator, and he got kicked off in the most Jean-Claude Van Damme reasons.
Are you ready for this?
Because they were filming the movie with him as the Predator, and he would not stop kickboxing.
Wouldn't stop kickboxing.
It got to the point where the director brought him in, and he was just like, you know, we brought you in for this part because, you got a great body and you're pretty athletic. He's just like, you gotta stop kickboxing. Like, we need you to
stop. You know what he got? He goes, the mirror second.
And then he...
Mirror second.
Mirror second. Mirror second.
What I'm gonna need you to do, stop with the kickboxing, okay? Bruh?
And in the most Jean-Claude Van Damme manner ever, he's just like, you know, I just don't see the character like that. I just don't see him as somebody who doesn't kickbox.
Only
constantly.
See him as a kickboxer.
I only see him as a...
It is not fair. I am kickboxer. It's what I feel in heart.
Oh,
so
gosh.
He got fired on the spot as the predator, and then he responded by saying, "You suck my balls."
So here's what I would love.
He told him to suck his fucking balls.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
And you know what he kept doing? Making movies with kickboxing in it.
Here's what I want to hear. I want to hear a Beyonce remix about somebody being told they're not allowed to do that much kickboxing and then being like, fuck you. And the other person's like, bye, boy.
I'm a single boy, bye. I'm a single kickboxer. Right. I'm a single kickboxer.
You know, the moment he made the movie Kickboxing, that was the greatest.
He was like, yeah.
Fuck you, makers of Predator. Yeah, I'm in kickboxing.
But to be fair, they were right.
Schwarzenegger's door. He's like, remember when you said you thought it was a terrible idea?
No, it is a terrible idea.
For me to be a kickboxer like this? Well, look, I made this movie. Guess what it's called? Suck My Balls.
Listen, Van Damme, they were right.
Like to see an interview between him and Chuck Norris is like, How many roundhouse kicks do you think there should be in a movie? 1,000.
Never ending. It just should be, no one should not be spinning at one.
You know
part.
How somebody says, like, how much dick can you get in a vagina? It's the same with roundhouse kicks. Never too much is the answer.
Oh, gosh.
All of it.
Kim, you wanted to talk about your favorite movie of all time, Con Air.
Okay, so I
just moving the show right along.
I don't know.
We're reaching the we're getting near the end, and I was like, okay. I really want to sneak.
And we
this
give
in.
You this prime spot.
Thank you.
We
so
give Kim
important
the platform
to
sometimes explore the space, and she came up.
I'm
going to
explore
show
the space,
crap.
You guys.
Like we come, I came and was like, you know, we got this story from last night. We got this over here.
Hot sauce.
Jeremy comes with his regular nothing.
And so much of everything.
He was just like, I was thinking about this bit where I flick the mic stand like 8 times during the show, and you get really mad.
Guys,
there you go. Thank you.
You know what would be
funny? Thank you.
Is if we respected our listeners by making things sound horrible. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah,
it would just
right?
sound like a nightmare in their ears. Thank you. So, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I really, really, really like any kind of action movie, more or less, that comes from the late to mid 70s all the way into like I'm gonna say like 2005 I will accept but really into 90s 80s stuff. So I've been
before CGI was prevalent.
Before CGI before I don't fuck with CGI and God. I especially don't fuck with CGI blood. You can fuck off. It needs
know.
To be Karo
like,
syrup.
I like 300 a lot.
I love 300. Damn it, you're right. CGI you know blood. What there's always an exception to the rule. Like I hate Nicolas Cage, but Kick-Ass is amazing.
Well,
right,
this is I had this theory, Kim, that there, you know how like have you ever read a book and been like,
no.
Man,
ever, reading?
I was not in Book that. It with Pizza Hut.
What
so.
Am I, LeVar Burton?
Sorry.
Have you ever read like a story, a novel, an article, and you thought, you know what, God, this would make an amazing movie?
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody's ever done. Nobody's ever read a book and been like, man, this would be a really good Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's ever
you're right.
in
yeah.
their life said that.
Well, the main character, he's going through, you know, he's in the military and he's getting through cancer and the last minute he finds out that all of his national treasure was stolen. And I feel like the only option here is to cast Nicolas fucking Cage.
We need Nicolas Cage.
If you're seeing anyone other than Nicolas Cage in this movie, I can't even have this meeting right now. Like,
I can't even look at Wicker.
It's not worth
even
the brunch that we're here for. Yeah. I hate Nicolas Cage and I really, I really hate, but also love all the internet stuff, like where they switch his face onto a cat's face.
Oh yeah,
so
the cat
appropriate.
The cat pictures of
so
Nicolas
horrifying,
Cage are so
right?
good.
Something about the way his
so
eyebrows
good.
Are so close to his eyes, it yeah. just like works, and I hate it. Have you seen the Nicolas Cage couch?
Yes, I've seen. The
horrifying.
Nicolas Cage couch.
I wouldn't sit on it.
Legitimately though, Nicolas Cage
I wouldn't.
Looks like a person that would lick his hand to clean himself.
Oh
you
my
understand?
God, you're right.
Like
holy
let me
shit!
Fix my eyebrows.
And he wouldn't apologize about it. He'd make it feel like, well, you're dumb for not being in the Boy Scouts. Like, everybody does this. What?
In case you didn't know, I learned this on the set of Peggy Sue Got Married.
Kathleen
Turner actually showed me that the best way to stay clean is to lick your hand.
I can see her doing that too. Put her legs up in the air.
All the parts of your body that are hard to reach.
Yes. So I hate Nicolas Cage. So there's a line There's a lot. First of all, I want to save the best for last. So his friend is dying. He gets shot in the stomach. Mm-hmm. Also, Con Air has Dave Chappelle in it.
Yeah, has Dave Chappelle. Has an all-star cast. All-star cast.
John Malkovich, Dave Chappelle, Nicolas Cage. Who else? There's more.
It's basically The Expendables before The Expendables.
Yes, it really is.
It's good. It's a good movie in that sense.
I kept typing in Con Air as one word, and then it wasn't until I watched the movie again that I realized, oh, wait, it's Con Air. Like, they're cons, and they have their own airline.
Hairbrush company, Con Air.
Yes. Which calls back to Nicolas Cage's amazing but yet unnecessary hair in Con Air.
I love his extensions.
There's a fight scene, and he keeps getting hurt. Like, they do that underdog thing where the first two punches, he always eats it, and then he has the comeback.
Can I derail this for like a whole 10 seconds?
We knew you were gonna
ask, did you see the documentary about the possible death of Superman documentary?
No.
No, but let's talk about that right after.
Where he plays the Superman?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's all years back.
Move along.
Go back.
Move Kim's story along. So, right. Yes, that's a good thing to talk about.
All right.
So there's a fight scene where like his hair is clearly getting in the way. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, you're in jail. Why would you have a handicap? Why would you present a physical fight handicap like long hair?
Because sometimes in prison,
he was in the military.
I know you won't understand this, Kim, but I know you're not surrounded by women, but sometimes you just want others. You want to feel like you're wanted, right? And
okay.
That hair says, I don't need a fucking mop on my head to be sexually desirable in this place. I grows it.
I could never understand that, but I'll try.
Okay. Well.
Okay, fair enough. So there's a line where he goes, his friend is dying. He gets shot in the stomach. And he goes, I guess that just means there's no God. Right? And then Nicolas Cage, like, his character in this movie is the ultimate volunteer, right? He has a chance to get off the flight. And then remember, he's like, nope. I'm staying here because what would my daughter think of me if I didn't stay and try to save everybody? She doesn't think shit of you. She hasn't even met you. Calm down.
I need my daughter to remember that I stayed on an airship that looked like the shit from the show Tailspin and then be able to fight off other convicts and throw them off the back.
What would she think of me if I totally disregarded her ability to meet me because I died trying to save a bunch of strangers? Like, that'd be the worst, am I right? So he says to his friend, he's like, there ain't no God. And above and beyond, he's already done too much. He goes, I'm going to show you that God exists. He's like, I'm going to... He goes, don't leave me. He goes, I'm going to show you that God exists. So he leaves his dying friend to tell him about what could possibly be a fictional character by way of his own behavior. What does this guy think of himself? Jesus Chrysler, get a grip on your ego. Okay? My favorite line now, Steve Buscemi. This is one of Buscemi's finest roles because this role was one of the only roles I've seen him, other than People Under the Stairs, where he was totally cast for his face because he plays a child murderer. And if anyone looks like a child murderer, it's fucking Steve Buscemi. Okay?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Somebody who fucks kids, it's him.
Yeah, this is how... Okay, so...
He was the best in People Under the Stairs, definitely.
The best, dude! His teeth, and he was so scary, and just... we eat skin. Okay. Apparently, this motherfucker looks like a skin-eating motherfucker, because this is the second movie I've seen him in, where he plays somebody who eats people. Now, here's how the 1990s told you somebody was scary. Okay, they did two things. One, they put you in a face muzzle, like Dr. Lecter. And two... They have a much scarier looking black dude take off that muzzle. That's how scary you are. The scary looking thick arm dude, Ving Rhames. Oh my God. Can we just for a second? I fucking love Ving Rhames every time I see him. Yes.
Every Arby's commercial, I get fucking real turgid.
Very hard.
Real turgid.
Real horde.
I've got the meats, and guess what? Ving, so do I. Right
and
now.
Guess what? Yeah. His voice, oh my God.
There's an entire fucking 8-inch hoagie waiting down here.
What was the
fully
one?
Fully loaded.
What was the show he was a detective with the lollipop?
Kojak.
Okay, I want to be the lollipop.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, rape.
Yeah. So. But it's not rape if you want it. Okay, so I'm building up, but here it goes. So Steve Buscemi, this guy, thick, scary looking inmate, takes off his Lecter mask, which is kind of sexy. It's like made of leather. I don't know why they have a leather mask on a fucking we're transporting you prison to prison plane, but whatever, I'll take it.
I imagine that there's some pornographic version of the Silence of the Lambs where Dr. Lecter is locked up and they say, why did they put that face on you? He's like, because I eat pussy too good.
What's your greatest flaw?
I've eaten so many pussies in my life that they must shield me from the rest of the vaginas of the world, Clarice.
I saw a meme that said, you're not eating pussy right unless she starts to shove your head away and then you keep eating her pussy until her soul leaves her body and then you order her pizza. And I said, touche, internet.
Ghost
touché.
Two.
So, okay. So Steve Buscemi, he's out. He's free. He's out of his muzzle and he's on the plane and he's kind of not phased. He's kind of like, I eat small children. This doesn't phase me. Right. And Nicolas Cage, this is a role from very beginning where he is too good of a man. That's the whole synopsis. He's too good of a man, right? Because, okay, a person who's too good for a man is somebody who will say something. Let's pretend he's not a child murderer. Let's pretend it's a group of comedians. And he says something that's supposed to be like, I'm a good man. But then all those comedians tear him down immediately because he didn't put two and two together. Right, like, you right, shouldn't have right. said that. That was too easy. So he goes, Buscemi says, one girl, I drove through three states with her head as a hat. The response? It's my daughter's birthday today. Dude, no. No. You know how hard he's going to get off on that?
Yeah. That's not a good thing that you
because
you
the follow up
to the serial killer who
no.
fucking decapitates
oh,
people.
Oh, is it? Right? Because then he goes, it's my daughter's birthday today, so please feel free not to share anything with me. He doesn't give a fuck about your feelings. You just told him it's your daughter's birthday today, and he just told you, I wear small children as hats.
And he said, fap you very much.
Yeah, he did. Dude, oh, disturbing. I rewound it for that. I was like, did he just say that?
Okay. Well, right.
I feel like that was inspired by Henry Lee Lucas.
Yeah, I'd say so. Or Otis Toole.
Or Otis Toole.
Somewhere around those lines. Yeah, Jeremy has brought up the Sean Whalen, the gentleman from The People Under the Stairs.
Oh, right. I thought I felt a flashback.
Yeah, it's come
coming
to Monster Mania, by the way.
So. Oh, nice.
I had something else about. See, the thing about Nicolas Cage that always blows me. A couple things to say about him. One is that he plays exactly two characters. He plays nerdy Nicolas Cage, which is, I'm nerdy Nicolas Cage, and I talk kind of like this or whatever. Peggy, I need you. Or, oh, come on, fucking little Dale. Or, you know, there's nerdy Nicolas Cage. And then there's just regular old Nicolas Cage. That's the only other character you get out
regular
of
old Nicolas Cage sounds like everything he says comes after the words, listen.
Listen.
Listen. Okay.
People like making compilations of just Nicolas Cage going crazy.
Yes.
I'll tell you this.
Yes. He's so weird. Like, the thing about him that I've kind of come to accept is that I don't like about him is he's 100% not relatable. He doesn't represent any man. Right? He only plays Nicolas Cage. Like, what would Nicolas Cage do?
What would Nicolas Cage do?
It's weird.
He would act exactly how he acts all the time.
There's only one actress he can work with, Holly Hunter. So
Yeah.
The other thing is, think about how the movie Con Air got made, right? Like, clearly, a couple years, probably like 4 or 5 years ago, they were like, okay, we had this movie, comes out, Air Force One. It's the number one movie in America, okay?
Killer, killing it.
Harrison Ford as the president kicks
tearing
people
it
off. They were like, okay. God damn it, this is pretty good. A couple years later, they were like, they dropped this other movie. It's called Executive Decision. Steven Seagal.
Maybe you've heard of it.
Steven Seagal and Kurt Russell, and it's an amazing film. Another on-air kind of thing. And then they were like, okay, what are we going to do next? And he's like, sir, if I can speak up, I've been sitting on this little project. He's like, okay, go ahead, speak up.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right, we have a plane. We'll start with that, okay?
Mm-hmm. Love
Except
it.
This time, it'll look like the plane from Tailspin. And
okay, and I'm like, still on board.
Okay. They're like, Steve, all right, do we have Navy SEALs or do we have
Talk
Arnold?
To me.
Do we have this?
He was Snakes?
Like, he was just like, no, you don't understand. We got all that. We got all that and more.
All that and more.
What's the biggest problem with Air Force One and Executive Decision? I don't know their commercial flights. They're too comfortable.
Lack of peanuts?
There's only a finite amount of bad guys on it.
Damn it!
This flight is nothing but bad guys.
Shut the fuck up!
And the only man that can land this plane is... I was like, so what are you going to do? He's like, get this. We're going to get John Malkovich.
Oh my God.
Dave Chappelle.
No.
We're going to get Danny Trejo. We're going to get every...
Danny Trejo was in it?
Yes, he plays a rapist.
Wow. We're going to get Steve Buscemi. We're going to get all the top actors and the most unfuckable men in the world.
Yes.
On one plane. On one plane. And Nicolas Cage has to murder them all.
Here's what I like. I like the idea of a guy sitting down at a table with a bunch of really big movie executives and going, picture it, right? And he does the thumbs thing, like the two fingered, like he's making like a rectangle with his hands. Picture it. An airline full of inmates. Hold on. Con Air. And then the biohazard suits they had to wear to when they cleaned up the brain matter from their brains exploding all over the room.
Nicolas Cage, you mean the guy from Face Off? No. We mean the guy from Face Off with long hair.
Plus John Cusack.
And John Cusack.
It's when you would try to sell the $1 million movie. It's like, okay, every character is Paul Giamatti, but he's just like, you know... It's all just CGI through the whole movie. So.
You realize, though, that it went from there. They were like, where do we go after Con Air? And he was just like, Steve, I know I hate going back to this goddamn well of this plane movies, but we need another one. He was just like, Snake's on a Plane. I got it. We're going to put fucking Snake. We're going to put every Snake. You seen the movie Anaconda? Yeah,
I've seen it. I loved it.
J-Lo, all that.
Jerked off to it so hard.
Okay, remove her. Now we have Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh,
okay.
My God. So you're saying...
I'm there again.
So you're saying we're taking all of the idea of filling a plane with villains, but instead of villains, they're fucking snakes?
Yeah, on a plane. On a plane.
Dude, they don't have plane tickets. How did they get on there?
I'm just mad they never made part two where the snakes get on the plane and all they want... And then Samuel L. Jackson has to stop it from flying into the World Trade Center?
Yes. With his physical body. Yeah. He has to stop it.
I was all for Jennifer Jason Leigh getting an Academy Award for Hateful Eight.
I'm really excited about the next plane movie called Bed Bugs on a Plane.
Bed Bugs on a Plane.
Everybody's really annoyed. It's very inconvenient.
I think, my personal hell would be, it would be a mix of Snakes on a Plane, but replace all of them with babies. So it's a 9-hour international flight. There's nothing but crying children.
Who stars?
Steve Guttenberg. It's Steve Guttenberg and all. It's Steve
Michael
Guttenberg,
Keaton.
Michael Keaton and
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren. And they're very unfunny. But their whole time they're trying to do is just cheer these babies up so that people won't go insane and start flipping out.
You know who the star is?
Who's that?
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow. Come on, baby. Stop crying constantly. It's me, John Lithgow.
Look me in my eyes and tell me he wasn't the best character in the whole Dexter series.
He was
Trinity Killer. Come on.
He was the
Kyle.
The only problem I had with it was pretending that John Lithgow was straight in the show.
Like, fair enough, but he was like one of those...
What games are you playing, Kyle? I'm sitting here with my wife.
But he was one of those Christian-y guys. Yeah. They always hide behind that.
I would have totally gone for really hot, gay Dexter, John Lithgow, sex.
Oh, I would go for that real hard.
Dexter, what games are you playing?
Where Dexter's like pretending to not be totally gay, but totally being bunt.
Yeah.
John Lithgow.
Yeah, he's punishing him for his crimes. He's not gay. He doesn't enjoy this.
Let me stick this right in your Harry Henderson.
You're going to take it. You're going to take it because you've done bad things.
Are you a big fan of Blowout by De Palma? Yeah.
I don't know about that.
It's Tarantino's favorite film. I made him watch it. So.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty good.
Can I also say I really want
Travolta,
the album that you and Justin Jones, your band, made together, or whatever you have of that. I want those sound files.
Okay. You can get them all.
That's what I want. How do I get them?
Do you have a flash card?
I can get that. I can make that happen.
What you need to do is we actually need you to postmark a letter, P.O. box.
Okay.
We have a P.O. box for all.
Sure.
You will get a bag of human skin.
I'll put my family seal on it.
Comes with an ounce of Jeremy Psoriasis skin. That he's actually been, it's been laid away for quite a while.
I've been collecting bags of skin for years.
Oh my God, that makes me sick. That's so foul. Listen, I saw a dead body that made me think I couldn't do acid for a while, and then and what you just said grossed me out. Do you understand? That's so upsetting.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I saw a person and I was like, ooh, I don't think I can do acid for a minute. This is disturbing.
Well, that's why nobody goes into our contest, obviously, because
obviously
if you win, you're still losing. So
guys, I think that's the end of our show. I think we made it through a whole other episode. But that's why we get them tuning in for next week. Okay?
We'll talk to you again.
We always round it up with some rape.
We got more guests coming. We're gonna have fun.
Scratching the surface there.
Scratch and sniff. It smells like shit.
You can check him out at Panic at the Deli, and also check out Die Laughing Productions, both on Instagram. All things Eric Woodworth can be found at ericcomedy.com. Check out the Quality Time Facebook page. We'd like to get some more likes on that, so if you guys could check that out. And make sure you give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Podbean, the two places where you can find us and are listening to us right now. Give us a 5-star rating. We would like to read it out on the show. Kim, you got the second Saturday Shit Show. It's coming up in like 4 weeks.
Yep, July, 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. Yeah, second Saturday.
It's going to be so fun. It's our freedom of speech show for July. Come around. We're going to say some really terrible shit, and there's nothing you can do about it for free.
Guys, you have a wonderful evening. Thank you, and God bless.
Quality Time video games, call